Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Number two, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, and you. All right, let's roll. Here we go. Mentioned it last hour that it looks like Chubba Purdy and Tate Rodemaker got most of the action today at quarterback. I did not attend today's practice. Reading the reports, though, it seems that those two gentlemen got the bulk, if not all of the reps. And that, of course, leads one to wonder why that would be. I mean, obviously, those are two guys that you may end up needing, but not guys that you thought you would need right away this year, and certainly not two guys that you thought would be in the mix to take a day worth of reps away from the potential quarterback battle that is Jordan Travis and McKenzie Milton. But if neither of those young men were available to play today, that automatically is going to lead to quite a bit of speculation, even if it is that Mike Norvell had this to say about why they weren't there, or why it was the other two got the bulk of the reps.
I've had three pretty good days. The workload's been high. I really like the competitiveness that we're showing. Just continuing to refine the fundamentals and the specifics of what we're trying to accomplish. So I thought it was a good day. Really been trying to get a good look at the two young quarterbacks. I've really been pleased with Chubba and Tate these last few days. We've had a big workload. You look at the scrimmage, and I would say McKenzie and Jordan probably partook overall about 85% of the snaps. So we wanted to get a few days here this week to let those young guys show their growth from the scrimmage, and I think both those guys have really taken advantage of those opportunities here. You'll get some reps with the first group and trying to mix and match that. So good work days. Tomorrow will be a special teams emphasis, also continuing to work some other situations, 2-minute drills, things like that. So hopefully we continue to build off of what we've been installing here this week and be a little bit crisper tomorrow when it comes to that.
Quarterback maintenance, is that par for the course for you, or is it just?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to continue to work those guys, making sure we get a great evaluation of each of the guys. It's one of those things, especially with the young guys. There's times when you're working with the third group and maybe the line combination that you're with is a little bit different. Trying to get them matched up with some of the better guys up front and some of those receivers to see how they respond, and I think they've done a nice job with it.
Well, that's one way to describe why it was your top two guys out there were not getting the reps that they would ordinarily get. Anything else would be speculation on our part, but it certainly lends itself to speculation. There's no doubt about that. I'll also, just as an aside, say this. We go through trends over the years. Of course, it's true in football, just like it is in fashion. But in this case, I'm going to marry the two. We really need to get back to looser-fitting baggy shorts that we wear while working out. This is highly unnecessary, what's going on here at Florida State and everywhere else, I presume. I don't know if this is being foisted upon us by Nike or what's going on, but can we not wear leotards out here while we're practicing football? This
sir,
is ridiculous.
Sir, in the post-COVID world, the cost of materials has gone up exponentially. I'm sorry that you like the days of Allen Iverson baggy
let
shorts.
Let me tell you something. We are a year away. We are reps away, if you will, from these dudes just taking the field naked, and we're being told to grow up. This is ridiculous. We've got to stop the nonsense here. It is unsightly. It is pornographic. I think we need to get to a place. What are we doing? This is absurd. Put some pants on. I just, every time there's a still photo on our website on warchant.com, you go, oh, geez, Moving on. Don't need to see all that. It's just ridiculous.
So I'm assuming that's where you were just moments ago?
Well, I just wanted to see if we had some practice photos that I could maybe glean something from. And the first thing I see is half-naked dudes. Oh, I'm like, come on, man. We're practicing football out here. Put some pants on. It's not that hard.
On a slight tangent of what you're talking about, you have seen that trend in basketball. Guys are wearing the shorter
ridiculous.
Shorts in basketball.
I call out
it's
to
not 1984, but
Leonard
it's...
Hamilton to put an end to the nonsense.
And Leonard knows both eras.
Let's not do this. It's like the famed picture in Sports Illustrated of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson guarding one another. You're like, oh my God, foul on both of you. This is just not going to get it. This is not what we do. Woo!
Thank you, Troy, for saving us. Troy's going to be down from Wyoming for the UMass game because he wanted a guaranteed win. Good call.
Diehard listener here in Wyoming. Coming to the UMass game, haven't been to a game since 2001. I'm hoping that's a guaranteed win, go Noles. Troy, you have been occupied, sir. I mean, 2001 is 20 years ago. You couldn't escape Wyoming for a game in 20 years? Now, I don't know your circumstances, and I'm not judging you at all.
I certainly hope not. We thank you, Troy.
I don't know. Yeah, certainly we do.
Gracious.
No, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, Jesus, 20 years. What I am saying, though, here is, and I don't know how one would do it. I'm not a rancher, and I've never lived in the mountains and or any of the rocky terrain. But if I lived in Wyoming, even if this were not true, not the part about living in Wyoming. It is true. Let's say I'm living in Wyoming. But this next thing that I'm about to say, even if this wasn't an accurate descriptor, if when I came to town from Wyoming to go to a game, far more frequently than every 20 years, Troy, I would, by the way, upon landing and my friends would pick me up and, oh, Cameron, it's great to see you. We're going to kick the bejesus out of UMass today. Yes, we are, Kyle. Can't wait. It's going to be a good time. And then somebody would say, where are you living in Wyoming? And I'd say, the high country. I live in the high country. Now, I don't know if that's true, if there's such a place in Wyoming or anything like that. I just think that that would be a great thing to say about my place in Wyoming.
All right, go ahead, Troy. Let us know if there's a high country, because there's a hill country in Texas.
So I live in the high country, like a lot of my cohorts who work the land. We live in the high country. It's hard living.
High country sounds better than hill country, though. Hill country sounds like it could get a little squirrely.
Maybe where hill country sounds like...
where the carnies live.
Yeah.
You know?
Banjos. But right. I'm telling you, the high country, that's pristine. That's the way it should be. It's what happened when men first encountered the open plains and later the mountains themselves, inclement weather, fighting to survive in the high country with their loved ones and wagons. So that's what I would say every time. High country might not exist, but I would tell you that I live there. In fact, I'm going to start telling people I live in the high country, no matter where I'm from, when they ask me.
Maybe as the manifest destiny was manifesting and folks were traveling to these reaches of our fine nation, maybe there was a day in which maybe the dad of the family and the oldest son said, you know what, we're going to try out son number two and son number three, our third and fourth strongest men in this family, to handle the wagon. Because we need to see...
can they handle the wagon?
Can they handle the wagon?
Here in the high country, things go south in a hurry. Can my third and fourth son, weak as they may be, rise up and handle the wagon in these difficult times?
We need a proper evaluation of our children.
True Seminole writes, Jeff, what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the possibility of West Virginia joining the ACC and who would come with them? Well... a lot of fans who still like to grow out a tail in the back of their head and wear raccoon skin. That's who would come with them. It would be an unsettling sight, barrels and such, a lot of possum eating, and some yickety-doos in the stands. You'd get a lot of that. If you're asking what other team might join with them, I have no idea, but I don't want West Virginia. Us folk here in the high country have fought long and hard to keep them West Virginians.
Somehow we've moved the high country from Wyoming to Tallahassee.
We have fought hard to keep those hooligans from the mountains of West Virginia from the high country.
I think the hotels in this area would price them out You know, they'd say 6 night minimum, 450 a night. We don't need you. We're good, man.
Oh, that is too good. All right, so there are new people. There are people who are jumping aboard saying, wait, what? Milton injury? What's going on? Where are our quarterbacks? What has happened? We don't know, guys. We don't know. It's not the answer you wanted me to give you, but I just know that according to Coach Norvell, they really wanted to get a good look at quarterback number 3 and 4 today and a lot of reps as of late. I think we'll take a lot of interest in what happens tomorrow and Friday. They have practice both days, as I understand it, and we'll be watching very closely to see if both or, you know, one or two or both quarterbacks are back.
Yeah, I think the issue is put to rest the moment that you see on warchant.com in one of the morning practice updates, either tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday, if there is a pass thrown and or completed by Jordan Travis or Mackenzie Milton. At that point, the issue is over. Right now, the updates are only populated by Chubba Purdy and Tate Rodemaker. So maybe we can get to that point.
You know what will lead to what Coach Norvell doesn't want? Even more speculative behavior from the press and fans alike if just one of them is back at practice tomorrow or the next day.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that is a nightmare for him then.
Well, and if that bleeds into the weekend, which, I mean, who knows? We'll see what the updates say on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at warchant.com. But then Sunday, when the scrimmage is over, I believe the availability we get is in the dead of night. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock on Sunday. I think the question will be, let's just say that Jordan returned to practice. Jordan returned to the updates. Excuse me, let me clean that up a little bit. Jordan returned to the updates. And McKenzie hadn't yet. We could ask the question, how did McKenzie do in the scrimmage? And we'll see what the answer would be.
You want to hear something funny? And good on you, Mike, for bringing this to my attention on Twitter. There was a tweet in which Marina Amaral tweeted out on this day in 1957, baseball player Richie Ashburn fouls and hits fan Alice Roth. Okay, so in 1957, this player, Richie Ashburn, fouled off a pitch and it hit this woman, Alice Roth. So that in and of itself is whatever. You're like, oh, well, did she die? Is this a historic moment? Like, what happened here? I want to read more. So as you read more, you begin to laugh pretty hard. Hits fan Alice Roth twice in the same game. While playing the Phillies, the first hit Alice in the face and broke her nose. Now, that's a toughie. And I don't, you know.
But
I mean,
she's tougher if she's still there.
Oh, no, get this. So she gets hit in the face. It breaks her nose. She's obviously in a lot of pain. The medical personnel come racing to her aid after wearing a foul ball, and they're putting her on the stretcher, and he fouls off the next pitch and hits her again. That is fantastic. What a great tweet. That is ruthless. 1957, buddy.
So I want to know, was the stretch right next to the seat? Was it like six rows up? And you're just like, you got to be kidding me.
I don't know, but that is really good.
The ball is just following Alice. Foul balls galore.
Much like once a year, I go to the QVC video of the man falling off the ladder just so that I can hear the commentary of that woman say, and that has never happened. It's just so good. I mean, her timing, she's my hero. And that has never happened.
You know.
But I watch that once a year because I like to laugh. I like to watch the grape stomping woman
from
the news fall off the stage. And
don't like that noise. No, no, man.
I watch that to laugh. And then I think the third thing that I go and look up is a picture of a bat that flew from the hands. I can't remember. I know the Rays were playing, but it flew from the hands of a player. And this guy's daydreaming. He's not paying attention. And somebody took a still photo. This should have won the Pulitzer. Somebody took a still photo of the bat squished up against this guy's face in the stands. But the part that makes me laugh isn't the bat connecting with his face. And by the way, he's okay. But, I mean, he wasn't in the moment. But what's funny is the surrounding faces of the people who saw the bat coming and sought shelter, because they're all like, ah, one guy's cracking up. He's three rows up and he makes me laugh to this day. He doesn't flinch because he knows the bat is no threat to him, but that it is going to hit that guy in the face. This guy has to be a sociopath. in the time it took for a bat to fly from a hand and hit a dude in the face, and that guy hits the snapshot, he's already started laughing. He's laughing at the point of connection without knowing whether the guy's okay. He's already going, ha, ha.
Yeah, that's, like, you can... that's next level. People can enjoy schadenfreude at other people's expenses,
oh, yeah.
But that's next level.
It's still, I love that picture. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh my God, that is really, really good. That really makes me laugh. Sorry, I'll get it back on track. I just thought I'd have a little fun with you there. As an aside, I don't.
We could recklessly speculate about the quarterbacks.
I'm just saying, you want me to speculate for another 45 minutes on that? I don't know what to think. I do think it's highly unusual. I'm left to wonder if, you know, my personal, and we'll never get this information, they don't have to give it to us, but as somebody who is reading practice reports around the ACC, reading practice reports around the NFL, reading practice reports for any team that's on our schedule, quite frankly, and really any of the bigger games, because now I'm excited like everybody else is for all the big games in the opening weekend. And, you know, listen, I like to gamble. I've never shied away from that even before it was legal. I gambled illegally with a bookie all the time. And I now I can do it legally, which is great. But what I'm telling you is that...
you're expanding the people you're telling this message to.
Yeah.
It went from terrestrial airways in Tallahassee to terrestrial plus podcast and now War Chant TV.
Yeah, now everybody knows. But like they didn't know already. But what I'm saying is... The point is, I'm trying to glean as much information as possible from these camps about starters, backups, what's happening, who's looking good, who isn't, especially on teams where there are a number of replacements. So, for example, Alabama, obviously always loaded for bear, but Alabama is replacing all but three starters on that offense. Now, they're loaded on defense, but they, again, that's a lot to replace. And you juxtapose that against their first opponent, Miami. Miami has the most, well, they're one of three teams that has the level of experience, returning experience, up over like 90%. It's insane. So, you know, you factor that in when you're making a decision about how you think about that game and what that point spread is. Point is, I'm reading these practice reports. I'm finding out what's going on in all these camps. And we're not the only camp where, mysteriously, two starters or two people projected to be a critical part of the team miss a practice or two or miss 3 days. And invariably, when you read that, if you go to what those people who write those practice reports are saying, or you go to their boards, immediately people just assume, and then this is where we live, this is the times in which we live, COVID. You know, I don't know that, but and we won't know that.
Right.
But I would assume, I mean, I think
mysterious
it's kind of
absences, yes, at other programs.
Critical players.
At other programs.
Right, currently, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day. I mean, read a Michigan practice report, read an Ohio State practice report, read an Alabama practice report, a Miami practice report, a Florida practice report. Unless they expressly state that this guy hurt his knee and missed practice today, or this guy's dealing with a bad ankle and he's in a boot and he's going to be out for a week, a lot of times it is just left out there like, well, yeah, interestingly enough, the, you know, the top three receivers missed practice these last 3 days. Oh, did they really? They're all part of the same position group. They're all watching film together. They're all in the same meeting room, and they all just happen to miss practice at the same time. Of course that's what you're going to say. You're going to go, well, I'm going to guess somebody was exposed, and they all got to make sure that everything's good.
That would be a general guess for other programs.
Yes, that would be. But yes, it's a guess. I do not know that to be the case here. It's just a safe guess that you're going to encounter some of that. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Usually camp results in the sort of ongoing story that you're seeing now at Florida State. I'm not saying it's not a real thing, but I wouldn't leap to the conclusion that Trayshawn Ward is going to be a star for Florida State this year. And I've seen some of that because he bet on himself and he's done well for himself, and I'm happy for him, but I don't think he's a difference maker for Florida State.
I think he's a reliable player, though. You need somebody in pass pro. You need somebody as an outlet out of the backfield who can make somebody miss. One of those players who you say, oh, man, okay, it's a pleasant surprise. You know, he's somebody who adds to the repertoire. He's not the feature player, but I think he's going to be a nice role player for us in certain situations.
Yeah, you know what ends up happening is you don't like to ignore the good stories with the personnel that you have because you're thinking about how they would fit if the personnel was where it should be. And that's more on me. You know, I find myself doing that quite a bit. I'll be like, he's nice for this team. But I'm always thinking about, and it's not a slight. I mean, he's come in there, worked hard. He's earned it, and he's turned heads, and that's important, and that's great. I think about if that room is where we need it to be, it's probably not much of a story there. I don't think he's a transcendent player.
No, I agree. But, again, these are the players we have currently. But they can still be positive stories and still make some plays for us, still make some key plays. It seems like from all the reports around camp that Trayshawn is the type of player that you can count on to be where he's supposed to be. That is really important as you're trying to build back to something, because you better be detail sound. You know, you could have more talent, but if you're not where you're supposed to be, the way we block it up, that's a pick six or something ridiculous, like a backside pressure where there's no pass pro, where there should be. You need reliable people until you can get really, really good reliable people.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. I was reading Bill Conley's article on ESPN.com, Insider, for college football's 25 most important players in 2021. And you know what you realize with all these guys that have come back because of the COVID year that they were given, and in some cases they had already redshirted. It occurs to you that there are guys, you're like, he's still playing college football? Sweet Jesus. I remember when Carlos Huerta kicked at Miami, because it seemingly felt like Carlos Huerta kicked at Miami for 16 years. And I remember being in the stands when they announced Carlos Huerta to come out and kick. And I'm like, again? Good God, Carlos Huerta. You're balding. You got a pot belly. You owe child support. You had a failed business. You've moved cities twice. You're still kicking here in Miami. What are we doing?
I believe those are parking tickets.
But there were a lot of names that I was reminded of as I went through and looked at all these guys. Like, God, that guy is still there. Justin Ross is still at Clemson.
That's the legacy of this, though. You're going to be feeling that for the next 3 years, 4 years potentially, if you had some stud freshmen that played last season. Because they're, you know, this is a freebie. It's a freebie, not just for this upcoming season, but forevermore. Clemson's linebacker, his name escapes me right now. I don't know if it's Bulware, but...
No, he's not. There's no way he's still playing there. No.
Well, the kid that was there this year, he's the guy in their linebacking core. I was like, my God, he must be 30. He may very well be 30.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that's weird. For example, he hasn't been at this particular place very long, but because we've heard him talked about forever and a day, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, who's got the greatest name for a quarterback in college football, I feel like, God, I'm tired of hearing about Spencer Rattler, but he hasn't been there very long.
No, like 5 minutes.
He was a redshirt freshman last fall. But, I mean, it's just, again, over and over and over again, and he's got a great supporting cast. He's got a ton of great players. Their offense, Lincoln Riley's offense, always hums. He's going to put up huge numbers, and it's just going to be like next year when we're doing this, if he's still there, we're going to go like, my man is a redshirt sophomore. He's got several more years to play. This is absurd.
Yes, if you're a really good college football player without much of a pro future, you really can make hay with these 5 to 6 years that you get.
You got a lot of time. A lot of records will fall, by the way.
Good point, yeah.
A lot of records are going to
fall. Career totals, yeah.
Career totals and all that. Jackson writes, and we appreciate you, Jackson. What player will lead FSU in rushing yards versus Notre Dame? I'm thinking Jashaun Corbin. Me too, Jackson. We're in agreement there. I actually think Corbin's going to consistently be the answer to that question. I think he's due to have a good season. I think he's finally healthy. He's one of the bright spots at camp. He's got a spring in his step. He's an incredibly mature young man, well-built. He's put the time in the offseason, but he's got that spring back in his step. He's versatile. He'll get some extra yardage at the end of runs. So I like him. He's not a breakaway runner. He's not going to change the scoreboard for you with an 80-yard run or anything like that. But he's really, really steady and reliable, and he's very physical. And he can catch the ball, so I like Corbin quite a bit.
I think he'll get the most touches, most rushing attempts. I don't know about most yards, though. Because the question is, can you consistently gain yardage against Notre Dame's front with our offensive line and our situation?
That question remains against every single team we play.
It's true, but that would be why I'd say Jordan Travis may be the guy who leads us in rushing yards. Again, it's kind of a trick answer because I think he's obviously talking about running backs. I think that's the spirit of the question.
How about this? How about this? Let's delve a little further into your hypothesis. Okay, you believe it's likely Jordan Travis because you don't trust our offensive line to create running lanes for Jashawn Corbin to have a more traditional day at the office.
Right.
20 carries, 86 yards, a touchdown. Like, I get it. Those aren't great numbers, but you would be, you know, that's a more traditional
I could
look.
See like 18 for 57, you know, and like a 12-yard run for a touchdown in there somewhere.
Okay, so let me do this then instead. Would those yards from Jordan Travis derive from designed quarterback runs or broken plays?
Yes. The answer is yes. I think the answer to that would depend on McKenzie Milton's status, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many snaps do you get from McKenzie Milton? Is it half the snaps? None of the snaps? 80% of the snaps? Because if it's the higher that number goes, the more designed runs Jordan Travis is going to have called for him. The lower that number is, the more scramble plays I think Jordan's going to have to create with his own legs. As opposed to somebody else.
It's weird how comfortable we've gotten talking about Jordan Travis in a game against Notre Dame.
Well, yes, but I think even before this week and all of the clutter and confusion over the last 24 to 36 hours, I think it was fair to expect that Jordan was going to be on the field for a lot of snaps one way or the other, right? I mean, like, now we're just thinking that maybe as the primary guy if there's any problems that have cropped up, which we'll see.
We're in the midst of the Summer of More Life, and it's an opportunity for you to take great advantage of the savings that Orange Theory provides, but more importantly, improve your fitness. I'm looking forward to this afternoon's workout. If you're an active member and refer a friend in August and September, you get a bunch of discounted prices over the next 3 months for you and your membership. If you're a non-active member, you either canceled or currently froze your account for whatever reason, you want to get back after it, just sign back up and unfreeze that sucker, and you'll get a discounted membership for the next 3 months. And if you're an elite or premier member, you're going to want to refer a lot of people to. You get $30 off for 3 months. Premier members will get $50 off for 3 months. That's 150 bones you're saving. That's a lot of working out for free, basically. And it's a good time. It's my friends at Orange Theory Fitness, orangetheoryfitness.com. So to my point, Tom, about what feels like decades in which people stick around playing at their respective university, Adrian Martinez is again starting at quarterback for Nebraska this year.
Is that right?
Adrian Martinez is again.
My goodness.
Starting at quarterback for Nebraska this year. Nebraska was in the news today for the wrong reasons. Although if you're a Nebraska fan, you say, no, Jeff, those are the right reasons. We are trying to rectify this situation, which is desperate indeed. How many wins do you believe S&P Plus points to for Florida State in the ACC this year, Tom?
One more time, I'm sorry.
How many wins in the ACC does Bill Conley's S&P Plus project for Florida State in the ACC this year?
In the ACC, all right.
Just the ACC.
So we're throwing out the two wins over J-State and UMass.
Throw out the wins over UMass and J-State. Give me which games.
Three. Oh, which games?
Well, okay, well, if you'd like, you can pick which games. That's a fun process, too.
Syracuse,
they have a 79% chance to win that game. Yes,
okay.
I agree. That's one. That's the best odds of the bunch, by the way.
No, I would think so.
And every other ACC game, Florida State, according to S&P Plus, go look it up if you need to, has less than a 50% chance to win.
Is that right?
Every other ACC game.
So the next best is Louisville at home?
The next best is at Wake Forest,
okay,
49%.
Ooh, wow.
Then it's Louisville, 48%.
And then there's a drop-off, I'm assuming, to the next one?
Actually, surprisingly, there's not. It's 48% and 47%, respectively, with BC and NC State.
So he's bullish on the Noles. All right, S&P.
Not really. He's got 3.1 wins in the ACC for Florida State this year. Obviously, he's going to project a surefire win against Syracuse. And then in the relative toss-up games, those again being Wake Forest, Louisville, Boston College, and NC State, he's figuring on at least 2 wins in those games.
We could do better than that, but I think that's a fair assessment. We've got to prove it, and we've got to skew the S&P plus a little bit.
Well, let me tell you the 2 wins that I would lean towards, oddly, and it, not oddly at all. I think it's fair to say that most people believe we'll beat Wake Forest in Louisville, right?
If that's the case, combine it with Syracuse, yeah, you have yourself a good month of September. Yeah, that's good.
Those are your ones. The likely losses read as follows in terms of a percentage chance, according to S&P plus. Notre Dame, we have a 32% chance to win. Miami, an 18% chance to win. That strikes me as interesting.
It's November, man.
Florida, 13%. North Carolina, 13%.
What?
Clemson, 6%.
Oh, man.
FSU should improve this year, but a schedule that features 5 projected top 25 teams, including North Carolina and Miami in cross-division play, could keep the win total tamped down. That's kind of per our talking point, that the schedule is pretty ruthless.
Yeah, this is not a get-right schedule. Yeah. It's not. It's not even laid out that way. The finish is absolutely brutal to the schedule.
We had our worst defensive rankings since 2009 last year. We got nothing from Marvin Wilson. We didn't, unfortunately, get much from Hampson Azraldeen because of injury. Both those guys are gone.
He actually showed up and played, though. I couldn't believe it.
I know you were stunned.
Good for him.
But you do lose Asante Samuel Jr., obviously. They're basically excited and would project and say, okay, look, if you want to get excited about players on that side of the ball that can help change the fortunes of Florida State on defense, they're the guys we've already been talking about. But I think there are more. They're Jermaine Johnson, Keir Thomas, Jamie Robinson, Jarvis Brownlee, Travis Jay. I mean, there are a lot of guys. That's actually a fun exercise.
And Mike was raving about Akeem Dent at free safety.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Kevin Knowles, who we think at least by the end of the season is going to be getting a lot more reps, right? Because he's got an idea of what he wants to do, and that's inflict pain and tackle in open space and get downhill. Something that we sorely need. We've been very passive on the outside. You've got options there. I think that interior of the D-line is going to be okay, too. They just can't suffer an injury. But I think they're going to be more consistent. How could you not be? Than last year's group. What they looked like on paper last year was one of the best interior defensive lines in the country, and it wasn't just us saying it in Tallahassee. Pundits around the country said that Florida State's interior of the D-line is top 5. Never played out that way. This group won't be picked in the top 20, but I'll bet they'll be more consistent than they were last
year. Yeah, and S&P Plus is just a tool. It doesn't mean it's going to happen the way that those numbers project. Those are based on a formula, and there's no foolproof a formula. You can look at that and say, okay, well, I see what it's weighting and why.
We've got to skew the numbers our way.
Well, and listen, S&P cannot, I don't think, rightly calculate what it means, for example, to have a normal offseason, to have real practices, real time in the weight room, proper nutrition, conditioning, all of it.
Right.
The bonds being bridged and made in that offseason together, a buy-in. A locker room transformation, it can't do that.
Right.
It doesn't have a formula for that.
Not to mention a transfer at quarterback. We'll see what the status is there. But a transfer at quarterback, it's basically like getting a transfer at tight end because Jordan Wilson didn't play last year.
And I think he's a big part of what we're going to do. I really believe that the tight end room is not good, but it has a chance to be greatly improved because of him and Jackson West.
There's also a transfer at receiver, interior offensive line with Dylan Gibbons. You got 2 rush ends that are transfers. You got a transfer safety / defensive back. Actually, several of those. Yeah, that S&P Plus cannot account for any of that stuff. Because what is that? Out of, let's call it, your top 30 players in either phase of the ball, offense or defense, 8 of those guys, at minimum, are going to be transfers? That's tough to account for.
I wish this was a year in which we as fans could complain about the schedule in the way that it's boring with a bunch of automatic wins. You know, it's funny.
What are you going to learn? It's all easy wins.
Well, and it's funny because when you're down on your luck and you're struggling, and or if you're trying to build a program to a place where all of a sudden they'll get noticed and you have a chance to corral some of the better recruits and they'll take your phone calls, you kind of take that old Bill Snyder approach at K-State where they played nobody ever. Their schedule was an embarrassment to schedules everywhere. But they kept winning games, of course. And after a while, when you're putting together repeated 9- and 10-win seasons, you're going to bowls everywhere every year. The brand is expanding. People are beginning to recognize, oh, they're winning over there. They actually they do some things year to year. They're not putting together these terrible seasons. All of a sudden, you lure one of the upper echelon recruits in, like Bishop or somebody like that, and the next thing you know, you got a guy. And now you got a marquee player at an important position because you've accumulated all these wins. Now, Florida State's not Kansas State. It's a much more prestigious program. It has built all kinds of cachet over a very long period of time. But it would be nice to glean some of the benefits of which I speak with a season of lackluster foes in which you amass 8-9 wins because kids aren't paying attention, man. You know, if you walk into a living room the year after a 9-win season and say, we're getting it turned around. You know, when I first got here, we won 3 games, but we won 9 last year. They don't go, yeah, but coach, let's really look into those 9. They're not doing that. High school kids aren't doing that. You're selling the bowl and the wins and the total turnaround and all that stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a little something. That's what I mean when I say that. It's not that I'm afraid of competition. Again, I always laugh at that because I'm not playing in the games. But also because it's not our history. It's not Florida State's history. Florida State's history is to play big-time opponents, out of conference, anytime, anywhere. I get all that. But you're just trying to get it turned around, move it in the right direction. And even if that is a bit of fool's gold because of a weak schedule, it's a way to sell the program not being a loser.
I can tell you, but that's the thing, though. You've got to sell a reasonable message to the kids so they can judge you by the expectations that you set for yourself. And I can tell you through the conversations I had when I first joined the staff at War Chant about how did all those recruiting visits go, all those weekends when they had the kids, what kind of messages were being sent to the kids, and it was downplaying this very season in front of us. It was, you know, hopefully we get to 6, and if we get to 6, we'll be okay. That's the message internally over there is if they can get to that number, they're going to retain an awful lot of this class, if not most everybody in this class. That's important.
We think.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, there could be some NIL money coming from Alabama towards the end or Georgia that might sway somebody's opinion, but that's the thing. We also did a video on War Chant TV about what if FSU scored the upset, what would that be? You know, how monumental would that be for the recruiting visit? And Michael's answer in the video was, oh, it would be massive. It would be great for kids that are looking at Florida State but aren't necessarily committed to Florida State. But the coaches are downplaying the season to the incoming recruits and saying, listen, just we're going to improve. Stick with us because you're going to be the reason that we take a leap. But we're going to improve a little bit this year. They are downplaying the expectations, not selling to the class of 2022 that this is going to be a 9- or 10-win season. They're saying, bear with us. Pardon our dust, if you will.
Smart.
That's good. I like reasonable coaches who set reasonable expectations because then kids will probably believe them more when they see a setback or two.
The honest approach with a kid about why, A, you desperately want them, and you wouldn't phrase it desperately, but why you see this great value they provide for your football team and what you think of them as a player. I think that the brutal, honest, and pragmatic approach is the way to go when you've had a stretch like we've had over the last 4 years. They're not blind. I mean, they do understand that you won 3 games last year and you weren't competitive against any of the good teams. Jermaine Johnson and others that said yes to Florida State, somewhat surprisingly, all noted at one time or another when being asked why that they appreciated the candor.
Well, in and of itself, you know, it may be sad that we have to be pleased when we hear that coaches are being reasonable, but given the shenanigans of the previous 3 to 4 years prior to Norvell's arrival, you do have to ask the basic question. They're not used car salesmen, are they? They're not setting unreasonable expectations, are they? And the answer is unequivocally no. They're setting realistic expectations.
Sell a vision you believe in and tell them it's not going to be easy. T-Spark Enterprises Roofing and Construction Services, proud sponsors of the Jeff Cameron Show, and whose services I've used, Tom has used, and many others of our listeners have as well. You can count on them. Hopefully the storm did not do damage to your humble abode. But if so, if you're looking for experienced roofing crews, a great company to work for, all that other stuff, but also need the help at your house, then I'm selling employees and...
That's correct, on multiple levels.
That's what I'm doing around here, buddy. Make sure you get our guys from T-Spark in there. T-Spark Enterprises available to help. Come inspect the roof, and because T-Spark is one phone call away and he can not only fix the roof but also licensed general contractor, they can also take care of any structural damage done there as well. T-Spark Enterprises Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Come back, and I'm about to cough. That's always good. Our first one, get ready to whistle.
Well, I can't whistle, but I can tell you that coming up in October, it's the second week of October, the Stanley Cup champion, two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning open up their season. Can you believe it, buddy? It's only 2 months away.
I can believe it.
Because that's the way hockey is.
Yeah, it's ruthless. I'm not going to bank on a third, by the way, a third straight title.
That would be greedy. But it's possible.
Excessive, right? Is today the 18th? Today is the 18th.
Today is the 18th.
Let's get to some probables, shall we? Brought to you by North Florida Payroll Services. Locally owned for nearly 15 years, offering payroll and HR services, including full online applicant onboarding and integration into payroll. Save your company money and headaches today. Head to NorthFloridaPayroll.com.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Hey, before I get to him, Panama Jack says NC State, Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse is four wins in my book, which means Jacksonville State and UMass gets you to six. I think you projected the right wins if we get to six. Panama Jack.
Panama Jack is betting the over.
He is betting the over, and the way he gets there are the wins that I would select. Tall task, two of those games. NC State in particular, oddly enough. Day games underway. Cubs are pounding the Reds 6-1. They may finally win a game. Been a little while. Cleveland's beating Minnesota 4-2 currently. So let's get to the remainder of the game.
The Reds are kind of like Rod Stew, right? They had a run in the 70s and haven't done much since.
Mets going to start McGill against East Galfini. That's on the it's happening right now. It's going on while we speak.
That 13-game stretch for the Mets? Yeah, so far they're 0-5.
Berrios going for Toronto. Gray going for Washington. Boston will throw Pivetta tonight. The Yankees will throw Haney. We've got Shohei Ohtani going tonight for the Angels. All right. Scooble. Going to go for Detroit. Mott. That'd be Charlie. Going for Atlanta. Lizardo going for the Marlins. We've got Watkins and... Is that Tampa Bay has starters that play all the time. Lewis Head is starting for Tampa Bay, and I always crack up. I'm like, well, who the hell is that guy? And then you look him up, you're like, oh, they fleeced somebody for him, and he's great. Peralta, Flaherty, only Flaherty. Milwaukee and St. Louis. We got Gonzalez and Fultonevich. That's Seattle and Texas. Oakland and the White Sox are going to go Irvin and Lynn. Greinke and Singer in the late game, Houston and Kansas City, Philadelphia and Arizona, Suarez, Castellanos. My Buccos lost by another run last night. Just one. 4-3. They've lost 2-1 and 4-3 against the Dodgers.
Giving it a good run.
You don't get much for being game. The Bodie once said, you don't get much. That would be Dean. J.T. Brubaker going for the Buccos. He's not good. The Dodgers may throw a fan out of the stands. They have not announced yet, but I wouldn't put it past them. Likely a win for the Dodgers.
Well, they eject people all the time.
And that is a look at those that shall reside on the buff. Boom! Woody's got a positive outlook on what today meant at practice, with Jordan Travis not being out there, Mackenzie Milton not being out there, or seemingly not being out there. I wasn't at practice today. I don't want to steer you wrong, but since the report only noted that you had the third and fourth string quarterbacks, Chubba Purdy and Mr. Rodemaker, out there getting the vast majority of the reps, then okay. He says, Travis is injury prone. Milton hasn't played in years, coming off a major injury. Norvell is looking to establish his third or maybe even second string quarterback. Yeah, maybe.
Well, if I am Chubba Purdy or Tate Rodemaker, that's what I'm thinking. That
sure.
If I win the job over the other guy, the other young buck in our system, that means I could be the second-string quarterback. Because of the injury history of the two guys in front of me, yeah, that could mean significant snaps for me if I take care of business.
Not for nothing, man. You put your nose to the grindstone, you go to work, and you try to get better. It's a novel concept. And along the way, occasionally things work out for you, and you get your shot. And if you put in the time, and you've done the studying, and you've worked really hard physically and mentally, maybe you make the most of it, and maybe transferring is not the idea, but rather hard work is. I know it's a novel concept. I'm not saying there's ever a time that you can't transfer. There are plenty of times where maybe it would be best for you to do so. But I do think in this set of circumstances, it's not like Purdy and Rodemaker don't have skill sets that translate. They do. They can play. They got to get confident. They've got to be obviously better day to day than they've been up to this point. And, you know, injuries have played a part in that too.
Handicapping it, who would have the lead right now in your mind? Chubba?
To start? Oh, between those two.
Between those two.
Well, every time I'm at practice, it's Tate Rodemaker. He's a practicing Jesse. Good work out of you. Good work, Matthew. Thanks to all of you who listened and or chatted. We appreciate you very, very much. Be well. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.